now.
Okay.
This is Barry Tyker of the Oral History Project. Today is November 10th, the year 2000, and I'm in Steenbach Library with Kelly Paulus, where we're going to conclude the interview that we began a week ago today. Kelly, we were talking a lot about all of the distractions and the stress and the publicity that you get as an athlete here at Madison. There was one episode that was rather unique in the university's history, unfortunately unique, I guess you could say, and it did involve a little bit the women's basketball team as well as the men's team and especially the football team.
Right.
I'm talking to, what do you call it, Shoebox Gate?
Shoebox Scandal.
The Shoebox Scandal. Tell a little bit about the background as you viewed it as an athlete reading about all this stuff.
Right. Well, I actually was approached by the two reporters that were writing the article mm-hmm. for the Wisconsin State Journal for, they called me and wanted to know if they could do an interview with me. And right away, I knew that something was going on because they have to schedule, all media has to schedule a interview with Tam Flareup,
mm-hmm,
our
right.
sports information director. And even though I was, you know, on my way out of my career, usually, you know, I wasn't doing very many interviews, and mm-hmm. so the kind of warning signs mm-hmm. came up.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was kind of interesting. The whole situation, in my opinion, was blown way out of proportion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know if...
Well, this, so people listening to this who don't know what we're talking
right.
about, it's a discount shoe store in Black Earth called The Shoebox,
mm-hmm.
and the owner had been giving discounts. He gave discounts to many of his customers,
he
gave discounts to student-athletes,
mm-hmm.
and students received either warnings, 2-game suspensions or more,
right.
based on the number of dollars they had in discount, had acquired over the years in discounts. Okay,
right.
go ahead.
And, you know, on top of that, it was just... When you first come here, you're given a whole bunch of sheets to sign and legality sheets, and you have to, you know, you can't do this and you can't do that. And the NCAA have got a lot of rules. And I think that's one thing that they need to change or, you know, take from this whole, you know, incident. They need to explain to their athletes, their student athletes, a lot more of what exactly they can and cannot do. On top of that, when I was a freshman, I did an interview for Lacrosse Radio, one of the stations down there, or at home, and it was a live interview, and after the interview was over, they asked me if I would do kind of a promotional deal, and
mm-hmm.
I didn't really, they didn't say it as promotional, because
mm-hmm.
I knew I couldn't do promotional
mm-hmm.
stuff, but they said, can you just say, you know, hi, my name's Kelly Paulus, I'm on the Wisconsin women's basketball team, I listen to this station
right,
in
right.
Lacrosse, and I didn't think anything of it, and so I did it, and it was running in Lacrosse, and someone called in and said, she's not allowed to do that, and I mean, I could have gotten my scholarship taken
Jeez.
Away, and I mean, I was an innocent freshman, I had no idea. I knew I couldn't do promotional stuff, but little stuff like that
mm-hmm.
I didn't think twice about. I was just, you know, trying to please everyone, so... That, and I understand how people can get kind of roped into the whole, you know, getting discounts on shoes. You don't think about it as, you know, promoting yourself or being, if you see everyone else getting a discount in the store, why can't you? So
mm-hmm.
I understand where a lot of people kind of fell into that and, you know, blew it way out of proportion. There were some people who had quite a bit of money out there, and I think that once the ball was rolling, it just kind of got out of hand. So, but I don't know. I think everybody kind of overreacted, especially in the newspapers and the NCAA. Just, you know, I've read a lot of articles for and against it and more against
yeah.
the whole, you know, idea. And
well,
I
know it was very disruptive.
Very much so.
The football and the
yes.
basketball team, I'm sure, will also be feeling that this
yes.
year as the penalties are.
Yeah, it's unfortunate that it had to happen that way. And that, you know, more explanation wasn't to the student athletes, that they didn't have them all sit down and say, listen, you can't be doing stuff like this.
Mm-hmm.
And I know the Shoebox owner, Steve Schmidt, is a very nice guy, a big backer, and I know he felt terrible
mm-hmm.
about it because he just had no idea. And so, yeah.
Yeah,
it's all really sad.
It
so.
Was really an amazing incident.
It was, yeah. you know. And
especially
it,
when you consider what often goes on at schools or you hear about.
Right. And I felt like the Wisconsin State Journal, you know, they really handled it poorly after reading some of the articles. A lot of the stuff was kind of, you know, not fabricated, but was blown way out of proportion. You know, some of the things that they were saying and the way that they twisted their words. Being a communication major,
yeah.
I understood exactly what they were doing, trying to make it a little bit more, you know, eventful than it actually was. And that was disappointing. And to see some of the way that they worded it and the way that they brought up things and then they neglected to bring up other things, kind of
mm-hmm.
being, if I was, you know, reading it and I had no idea, mm-hmm. you know, being a student athlete and being a customer at the Shoebox, if I had no idea, I would have thought that we were, you know, devil children, you know, at the university. We were these students who were just taking advantage of the system, and that really how it was and how it was, so. Yeah.
Well, when you said those warning signals went up when they called you, what did you do then?
I automatically called Steve out of the Shoebox, wondering what was going on, and he explained the whole situation and how they had been out there for the last couple of days. And so, you know, and I told him that I wouldn't be doing an interview with them just because, you know, I didn't feel it was right. And, you know, they didn't approach me the best way. They just left the way that they left a message on my machine wasn't very truthful. They were saying and how it was, they were just doing us, you know, a story on the Shoebox and, you know, what great business they have, and kind of twisted it a little different, you know. And so, you know, and I don't know if they, and they also kind of keyed in on the whole fact that I wasn't a student athlete anymore, that, you know, I was just finishing out my last year, and, you know, if I'd like to make any comments about it. So they were kind of, I don't know, they were trying to twist things around and maybe hoping to get an interview and then throw these questions at me and maybe watch me, you know, trip up over my words and say something I shouldn't have said or something like that. And I just thought that that was very unprofessional. Yeah. So I decided not to do the interview. I never called him back.
Well, you learned a lot from your athletics, about athletics, about life. Mm-hmm. I think your communication background, which we'll be talking about later on, I think you learned a very valuable lesson
about
how to handle these kinds of situations. It sounds like you did a good job. Let's talk about the team. We spent last time talking about your background and about motivation, about recruiting and things like that, but we really never got down to the team itself. I think D.D. Pate is the only player that we've mentioned thus far. I guess one way to proceed is to just, we don't have to go through it game by game or anything like that, but let's talk about your freshman year. What was it like playing as a freshman? What was the team like?
It was a lot of fun. It was a new experience for me. It was the next step up from high school. I was ready. Played a lot of AAU basketball, and which is the summer, you know, state leagues, and then we travel and play nationally, and it's usually the best players in the nation play in this summer league. So that was a lot of fun. I knew who I was going to be playing up against, and so I came in here, and the way they recruited me as a two guard, I would be behind, at the time, Katie Voigt, who was...
The two guard is the shooting guard.
Right, exactly. And she was an outstanding shooting guard. She continues to play right now. She's over in Belgium.
Oh, is she?
Yeah, playing professionally. And so she was a senior when I was a freshman. And the way they had planned it out, where, you know, I was going to be playing behind her, I probably wouldn't play very much, you know, considering she was the number one, you know, senior guard who was the leading scorer on the team, but I was to learn from her. Same thing as, you know, all the freshmen, Dee Dee Pate, my roommate, she was the point guard. She was to back up Keisha Anderson, who now is playing professionally for the WNBA. I don't exactly remember what team. But and then same thing with Missy Konechny, was playing behind a senior post. So all three of us were supposed to learn. And it didn't really work out that way, at least in my situation. Katie got hurt and tore her ACL a couple weeks into the practice season, so before we even played a game. And so she was out for the season, and which meant that I naturally took her spot as a freshman, and I started the very first game that we had, which, you know, for me, didn't really, I was nervous. But I think I was nervous just because I had a lot to absorb. I had, you know, 30 or so plays to remember, and 15 out-of-bounds plays, and all these different plays that we've got, and a new defensive, you know, setup and schema. And so it was, I think I was more, you know, stressed out mentally than I knew I could do it, and I knew that, you know, I just wasn't as experienced as the other girls. So I was kind of thrown into the mix, and I remember thinking, you know, it was a natural progression. I was very excited to start, and I was just excited to go out there and show my stuff, where the media and the coaches and everyone were saying, oh, she's a freshman starting, you know. And I think they made it out to be a little bit more than it. And now looking back on it, it was a big feat to have a freshman starting. You know, the experience level wasn't there. I was used to playing against high school kids that I could pretty much dominate. And now I was playing up against, you know, junior, seniors who were very experienced. So
Did you get roughed up a little?
A little bit.
Learn about the facts of life on a basketball court?
I learned that, you know, I couldn't do those fancy passes that I would have liked to do in high school. And, you know, I really had the value of the ball was a lot more in college than, you know, you could throw it away a couple times in high school. It was no big deal. But, you know, having a certain number of turnovers, you know, in college is very frowned upon, especially in our system. Mm-hmm. You know, you really want to take care of the ball. So that was interesting. I ended up not really starting towards the middle of the year. Another senior three-point shooter took my spot just because, and it wasn't any kind of talent difference. Actually, I was more talented and better skilled than she was, but she just had more experience, mm-hmm. and that was a lesson that, you know, I always had it in my head that if I went out there, I tried hard, and I had the skill level that against another player of my same position, I would automatically get that. And I learned very quickly that experience has a lot to do mm-hmm. with it, even if, you know, they're not as skilled mm-hmm. or as talented or anything else. So that was a eye-opening experience. And another eye-opening experience was the whole how stressful and how demanding the whole season was. For, you know, the traveling and going to different universities and how much emphasis and how much practice is mm-hmm. for every day. And it's, you know, and it's not a high school practice. It's, you know, very time-consuming.
Let's talk about practice for just a minute. Time commitment are you making during the semester for...
Usually, you know, when we first start, we did a lot of... I'm trying to think. We usually practiced, 1:30 to 4:30 to start out with, or, you know, depending on what mm-hmm. semester, we would flip-flop with the guys. You know, we would go early, and then the next semester we would go late. So we usually had a 3 or 4 hour practice that first couple weeks to kind of, you know, get everything covered. And then we would go, do weights after that and lift a lot of weights and continue with the preseason program that we had been starting since we first got there. And so it was a big time commitment, and it was very... strenuous kind of time commitment. You know, when you're there, you had to shut everything else out. You couldn't bring anything else, any other emotional baggage from school or from any kind of relationship you're having or anything else, social situations. You had to kind of cut all that out and really focus on basketball, because that's the reason you're here at the university. It's kind of your job. Mm-hmm. So you have to take it very seriously. And they were very tough practices. You know, everything was a lot more physical, a lot faster, a lot stronger. And so, it was a very interesting, you know, I was frustrated a lot. I picked up on things fairly quickly, so mm-hmm. I knew where I was supposed to be and all the mm-hmm. other thing, you know, technical things, but it was just then letting myself perform. And another kind of aspect of that is I didn't have my father there, who was able to, you know, in the same city. He wasn't at every practice in high school, but he at least mm-hmm. on the weekends we would get together and mm-hmm. shoot, and I didn't have that anymore. Mm-hmm. And so the only kind of communication I had with him with practice was, you know, talking to him over the telephone or going home, you know, on a weekend once every 3 or 4 weeks to practice, but, you know, to visit them. So yeah, that was different, not having my father there, not having him, you know, us being able to go home after the game and look at the game tape and mm-hmm, review it mm-hmm. and really cut it down and stuff like that. So I was a lot more on my own. And I had to really kind of pick apart, and I had to motivate myself to do extra workouts and do extra shooting and think about what he would say in certain mm-hmm. situations. So, yeah, so it was different.
As the young pup, did you find yourself getting a lot of support from your teammates and from the coaches?
I did, and I think that it was easier just because going into it, I knew that I wasn't the stud, and I knew I wasn't going to all of a sudden change the whole program. Mm-hmm. I knew that I needed to be a sponge for information, and I knew that coming in, and I didn't want to step on anybody's toes. And I know how it is having a, you know, young freshman come in and be bossy mm-hmm. and try to, you know, talk it up and all this other stuff. Mm-hmm. And I knew I never wanted to be mm-hmm. like that. So I just kind of came in, and I really didn't say much. You know, I showed my personality when I felt that was necessary, but I didn't want to be, you know, the annoying freshman or anything like that. So, or someone that they always had to be like, listen, you know, settle down. So I really kind of tried to keep my distance, you know, and I knew that there was going to be the whole hazing thing, you know, and our team was nothing compared to what, you know, some of the stories are.
What kind of hazing did you experience on your team?
Oh, little things like when we went to Santa Barbara out in California, they threw us in the pool, and you know, sometimes they would steal our shoes, and you know.
Do you have to sing for your supper or anything?
Yeah,
like that?
We had to do that, and just little, you know, innocent things. But you just knew that you had to go through it, and you knew that everybody else had to go through it. And I heard stories of how much worse it was when other girls on the team were freshmen, so I knew I had it pretty good. Yeah. I mean, getting thrown in a pool, I like to swim, so. I think Dee Dee was more traumatized because she doesn't swim. Actually, she has no idea how to swim. I've tried to teach her a couple times. It doesn't work. And so being thrown into the pool with all their clothes on wasn't a good idea for Dee Dee. Yeah. She was awfully scared. But they took precautions. You know, one of them was in the pool waiting for her to be thrown in. So it really wasn't that bad.
That's so great. They had the safety net out waiting for her.
Exactly, making sure that, you know, if she couldn't. And we were thrown in first, so. You know, if she had any problems, we were right there to help her. But, you know, it was kind of one of those things you just knew was going to happen. I knew we were being thrown in the pool because we were having a picture out by the pool. Yeah. So I was able to kind of go and, you know, put an old t-shirt and shorts on knowing that I was going to be thrown in there. So, yeah, just fun stuff like
that. Well, you mentioned you were in Santa Barbara. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about travel. That's another thing. Now, people don't realize there's a lot of travel involved in this. And again, you're trying to be a student as well, and you've got your own social life and all, and your practice, your job, as you call it. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of time, but this is also another factor. How strenuous is all this travel?
It's a lot different. It's not. In high school, I was used to getting on a bus and driving usually the same night, you know, and the farthest away for our conference games were 45 minutes. Mm-hmm. And going to from that to college, where our farthest conference game was in Pennsylvania, which is completely bizarre to me, was a lot different. You know, getting on a plane and having to fly somewhere, or getting on a, we usually flew pretty much everywhere. We had a chartered plane, going to the airport, you know, every week, and getting on a plane, and that was just very different for me. I liked it at first.
As it was, a frosh, I bet it was very exciting.
Yeah, it was very exciting. I know it was, I think, both Dee Dee and Missy's first airplane ride when we first went on our first road trip. So that was kind of exciting. I'd already been in an airplane, but, you know. But I do remember at the time thinking, you know, just assuming when you go get on an airplane, it's usually for a vacation. Mm-hmm. Or when you go in to stay in a fun hotel, it's usually for a vacation. And I learned very quickly that, you know, it was no vacation anymore. And by the end of my 4 years, I was so happy to be home in my own bed. And if I never stayed in another hotel or ate other out, you know, going out and eating food at a restaurant, I was happy. Because we did do a lot of eating out and stuff like that. And just have a home-cooked meal, even if I cooked it, spaghetti was great just because it was home and I could make it at my house. And I didn't have to go and wait for someone to order. And it was tough because we would sit in a big group, 15 of us. Very rarely were we split up. And that worked out the best when we were split up, eating, you know, in different tables, having different waitresses for every table. When you go in there with a big group, if anybody's done that, you know, and only having one or two waitresses, it takes forever. If you ask for another soda, it takes you forever to get that. And you got to wait for everybody to get done. It's just a big hassle. So you just get used to it after a while. You're in that family setting. But traveling was a lot of fun. We went to a lot of fun places, and Jane was really good about when we did go to fun places, not so much in conference. Mm-hmm. Conference are the same old places over and over again. But we went to, like, Santa Barbara and Alaska and, you know, all Maine. We did a lot of fun things, you know. We were at that location, whatever. We went to San Francisco. We went to Alcatraz and went to see a play, Miss Saigon and stuff like that. Yeah. So she likes to keep it, you know, lighthearted and be able to experience, you know, places like that and educate us and stuff like that. But also, you know, we're there to play basketball, so it's kind of twofold.
What about playing on opposition courts of the other team? Is that a lot harder than playing at home?
Yeah, well, it's not too bad. You know, you try not to look at it that way. Some of the places, you know, you go from your place where you're used to, which is a fairly big arena. We were in the field house, so it was a little, you know, smaller at that time. The Kohl Center, much bigger.
Yeah, right.
But then you would go, it would vary. Some places you would go, there were little, small high school gyms, and they would just pack it because there were tons of people there. And it really, if those number of people were put into a different setting, it would look like no one was there. Mm. But since it's such a small gym, And then you would go to other places where it was just a huge arena, and they wouldn't obviously fill it, but there were a lot of people there. So it was different, you know. You had to go to the different kinds of places, the different kinds of backboards that would, you know, behind it and stuff like that. I mean, there are places that I loved to play, and then there are places they absolutely hated to play. And so, yeah, and I could probably name a whole bunch of them. So,
where's the place you hated to play most and liked to play most?
I hated Indiana. I didn't like Indiana at all. And I know the whole Hoosier, but the way that they had it was just on the sides, they go straight up, and it just looks like it's a never-ending sea of seats. And I don't know, I've never been to the top because I'm afraid of heights, but I would have loved to go up there and just see down. I mean, they would look like little ants. But on the end lines, there are just bleacher seats, and it's just wall. And it was so bizarre to me. And they used to have these banners for the different, you know, NCAA stuff and how successful they would be, but they were all tied together on a rope, or actually it was on a wooden bar, and they would, there must have been a breeze. They were hanging from the ceiling, and there was a breeze, and since they were all connected together, when the air conditioning or something, when the breeze would come, they would all sway. So when you're on a free throw, you can look through the glass backboard and see these things swaying, and they ended up changing that where they're all individually hung from the ceiling. So now they're all swaying in different ways, and it was just so bizarre, and I hated that place, and I never liked it. We never played that well there. I think through my 4 years, we never won there, and we were always better than the team, and we always found a way to lose, you know, and I just did not like playing there. A place I like to play, I'm trying to think. I really liked, let's see, where did I like? I liked Wisconsin. That was my favorite place to play, of course. But I don't know, nothing really. I really liked to play in, let's see, where was it? I'm trying to think. I liked Penn State. Penn State was a lot of fun to play in. I liked the atmosphere of the town. The Bryce Jordan Center is not that spectacular, but Ohio State is another place I really like to play. I just like their arena. It was very large and had a lot of seating, but it looked smaller, you know, and it looked more compact, and they usually were able to fill that. So that was one of my favorite places to play. I always enjoyed it, and I always played well there for some reason. So it kind of enhanced
that helps
the whole.
Too,
yes,
it?
Exactly. So. But yeah, the whole traveling thing is, you know, interesting. You're always on a schedule. You always have to, you know, you have a certain roommate, you know, a lot of little things. If we lost at that school the year before, then we stayed in a different hotel.
No.
And Jane had a superstition about that. And if we won there, we stayed in the same hotel. So there were a couple hotels that we loved to stay in. One in Illinois was just like, we called it the Scooby-Doo Hotel. It looked exactly like a Scooby-Doo, the old mansion, you know, and the velvet and on the walls. Mm-hmm. And it was really fun to stay in and stuff like that. Just little things that were fun. As a senior, you could, one of the last travel games, you could order breakfast to your room, have room service as part of being a senior. And I don't think I ever did that. I think Dee Dee did, but Missy and I always liked getting up in the morning and going down to breakfast before anybody else and having, you know, coffee and waking up and stuff and reading the paper. You know, I think I will miss that stuff. You know, right now I probably won't, but a couple years down the line I'm going to miss, you know, going there and spending all that time with my teammates. And
those were great years.
Oh, yeah.
Really.
Yeah.
How did you guys end up doing that freshman year?
Our freshman year, we started out very well. We were ranked, you know, in the top five after, you know, a couple months of playing. And as soon as we got to, it was kind of the mystique of our whole program. As soon as we would get to conference play, we started to go downhill for some reason. And I don't know if we just burnt ourselves out playing all the, you know, really good top teams in the nation in the preseason, or not in the preseason, but before conference started. Played a lot of tournaments and won tournaments and stuff like that. We would get to conference and just go down the toilet, and we ended up not finishing out. We were 16-11, and we were much more talented than that. And we ended up losing the first game of the Big Ten tournament. And this was, you know, I'd never had a tournament at the end of the year with all the conference teams, and that was interesting. And in Indianapolis, which was a lot of fun, we played actually in the RCA Dome. And the way that they had that set up was very bizarre. The RCA Dome, which is fairly large, we were on 1/4 of the court on one of the ends. So there was no crowd on either side. It was just kind of the rounded off end of it, and we were sitting, or our floor was, and then there was a sheet, or, you know, a divider that was the other side of the court, which is very bizarre, and it was just weird how we played there, and we never played well in the RCA Dome. And I remember hearing the girls saying we never did, and so it must have carried over, and we lost that first game, and we were done. That was the end of our season. And we ended up doing postseason conditioning, which usually isn't very typical. After the year, we ended up running for the rest of the school year. And so that was tough, you know.
Was that just to keep you in shape?
Right, and that it was, number one, it was a punishment for how terrible we did. Yeah, and then number two was getting ready for the next year. Obviously, the seniors didn't have to run who were graduated.
Right.
There was no obligation to run, but you know, for those of us who are going to be there the next year, it was a very much a punishment for, and you know, we looked at it as a punishment, but we also looked at it as a chance to get better. Mm-hmm. And I think I was in the best shape I had ever been in. I was very tired after that. Mm-hmm. During the summer, I probably did not as much as I would have normally done in the summer preparing for that next year, because, you know, I had preseason, then I had a whole season, and then I had postseason, and I had never done that much, mm-hmm. just basketball centered, you know, and that was a big transition. You know, used to having volleyball and softball to kind of, you know, mm-hmm. outshadow the basketball, you know, and I would focus very hard on basketball, and I would train for basketball, but then I had these other fun sports to kind of take my mind off it, where 4 years of hard basketball, and that's all I did was train and run ready for basketball. I think that's why I made the decision after I was done not to continue on mm-hmm. playing, because I felt like I, not so much was burnt out, but I felt like I did everything I mm-hmm. could in basketball, mm-hmm. and I was ready to take a break,
ready
and I'm enjoying
else,
this year very much.
Yeah,
so
yeah. We were talking before the interview started that Kelly saw her first game as a true spectator
yes,
the other day.
Yes, I did.
The opener against a Russian team or something
mm-hmm.
like that.
Yep.
And you said it was quite a different experience.
It was. I had never been actually in the crowd watching a women's basketball game, you know, here, which was very bizarre. But it was very well. I mean, I welcomed it very much, and I enjoyed it very much. You know, I liked being up in the crowd and being able to, you know, say, what are you doing? And being kind of a coach and stuff like that. And I liked being able to watch, you know, I had an inside view. I liked being able to watch and kind of try to pick out what offense or what defense they're running. Mm-hmm. And I could tell when somebody wasn't in their right spot or someone who screwed up. But that was fun. I had a lot of support from a lot of the fans. They all came up and were saying how much they missed us. And Dee Dee and I went, and we knew a lot of people there. And it's a very different experience here, just because the fans are so involved mm-hmm. and they get attached to you, and which is wonderful. Mm-hmm. I much more enjoy that than having fans that are just kind of there. Mm-hmm. You know, and the Kohl Center is a lot different. Especially with the fans, you know, when we went to from the field house, they're so close, and there's no kind of barrier from where the
mm-hmm.
fans
right. yeah.
end and where we are. And that was very different. At first, you know, it was okay. I was used to having people, they would walk right up to the floor and start calling your name, from wanting you to come over when you're warming up.
Mm.
And then as I needed to prepare, especially for the big games, we played like Stanford, who was ranked maybe number two or three at the time in my sophomore year. You know, I'm really trying to prepare, get ready for the game, warm myself up, and having these people just kind of constantly
right.
coming down and wanting to talk to you. You know, I welcome the Kohl Center very much, having the security, having that, you know, buffer. You know, so I could really, it was harder because I was used to being able to just walk over and talk to people. And at first, the security was very adamant about not letting anyone down there. And I always went to talk to my dad before, and he would give me a couple, mm-hmm. you know, pointers to it. And I'd always have to, they would never let him down. And they knew that he was my father, but I had to go up into the crowd. And that was hard because as soon as you break that buffer zone
yeah.
and you go into the crowd, then you're just open. It's like
yeah,
open season for you,
right.
and everybody
yeah.
just swarms you. So yeah, so my dad had to, you know, kind of come down as far as he could, and I would kind of meet him there. But yeah, that was another thing that kind of went along, the whole fan aspect with
yeah. yeah,
very different,
and having people keeping track of you and
mm-hmm.
knowing you and watching you all the time. That's
yeah.
very interesting. Now, you said something too. You said this is the first women's basketball game you've watched here. About 5 years or so ago, I went to this thing on campus they have called Roundtable. And it was billed as the Dick and Jane Show that year because of the male and female coach,
uh-huh.
Dick Bennett and,
yep.
and Jane. Do you and the men's basketball team go go to each other's games? Do you know each other? Do you relate with each other? Mm-hmm. Are you totally separate? What's the deal?
It's kind of hard to build a, you know, big relationships because when we're home, they're away, mm-hmm. you know, are on different schedules. You know, now that I'm out of school, I'll probably go to more of their games. But if there was any time that they were home and we were off that weekend or we were around or something like that, we would definitely try to, you know, go to their games. You know, it was kind of nice. We do usually have practice. If it was a day that we had practice, we'd practice all the way up until they needed the floor. And we were able to, after practice, just kind of hang around and then walk into their games. Mm-hmm. It's a lot harder now that they're so successful and went to the mm-hmm. Final Four last year. Their games are sold out, so you can't really sneak mm-hmm. in and just sit in a chair because they're all taken up. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, the guys are real supportive, you know, either there before us or after us in practice. We usually see them, you know, passing by. We see them in the training room and stuff. And but for me, I didn't really... you know, I knew a lot of them, you know, by mm-hmm. name and by face, and I could say, hello, how are you, and stuff like that, but I didn't have very, okay. you know, big friendships with them. I know a lot of them, and they're very nice. You know, Maurice Linton and Trevon Davis live in my building, so mm-hmm. I see them all the time. But, yeah, so it's kind of fun, you know, to be able to say, kind of the same thing with the Ron Dane thing, you know, I knew all these guys, mm-hmm. and I was very proud of them when they went to the Final Four. I knew how, I saw them on how...
You said how the media would come down on them because they weren't scoring 842 points.
Yeah,
a game.
Exactly. And I understand that, you know, they want the flashy, you know, dunks and stuff mm-hmm. like that, but that's not, you know, Dick yeah. Bennett basketball, and I'm surprised they don't know that by now.
Yeah.
But, you know, and personally, I understand where they're coming from. It was boring to watch them play, you know. They weren't, you know, getting up and down the floor. They'd always bring it back, and mm-hmm. they'd use the whole time clock. And sometimes it was frustrating. But, you know, if you were a big fan of basketball and you knew the style yeah. of play, you understood where they were going. And it ended up being very successful for them, and I was very proud of them. I know that, you know, I got to talk to them and talk to some of them and what their Final Four experience was and how much of a blur it was for them. And I understand that, you know. And so
you guys both had postseasons last year.
Yeah.
We'll get to yours. Let's go back to we're getting a little ahead of ourselves here. What about your sophomore year? What was that like?
That was a lot of fun.
Well, Katie was back now.
Right, Katie was back, so that was different. Having her and I both there when I was supposed to take over for. I learned a lot from her, and I was, you know, it ended up working out fine. You know, I had no animosity mm-hmm. to the whole situation, but it worked out just perfectly fine. It was a lot of fun to work with her, and we ended up, that was our most successful year, the 4 years I was there. We ended up going to the NCAA tournament, and we're ranked up pretty high, and it was a lot of fun. I enjoyed it. Ann Klaprick was one of the seniors that she was kind of known as, you know, not being exactly mean, but she was more, you know, the hard, you know, nose to the grind, mm-hmm. stuff like that, and just really wanted to do, and she was very, you know, superstitious about things, and everything had to be the right way, mm-hmm. and stuff like that, and I think that kind of turned off a lot of people, but I really admired that about her. I liked how, you know, she's very serious at one point, and then she'd kind of, you know, be kind of giddy and stuff like that, but you never really saw that side of her, and that was kind of, people like that, for me, was, you know, when I first got here, it was kind of, I wanted to really, you know, try to see if I could become friends with her. And we ended up becoming very good friends, and it worked out really well. And she was kind of known as the one that, you know, you kind of stayed away from when you were a freshman, and you didn't really want to step on her toes and stuff. And us being friends, I was very happy about that. And our sophomore season, you know, my sophomore season ended up being a very, very, very good time. I think that was the year that we went to Alaska and Maine, and that was a lot of fun. You know, spending time, I really enjoyed my teammates at that point. Everybody was, they got along well. And, I mean, of course, you know, we had our problems, but it wasn't exactly perfect. But mm-hmm. basketball was a lot of fun. I learned a lot of that year. I think I struggled a little bit more that year just because I was expected to do more now. And my role wasn't quite defined mm-hmm. because Katie was mm-hmm. back and the playing time was a little split up, but I was just happy to be, you know, as much as a part of the team as I could and get in there as much as I could. So.
Now, you mentioned that when you were talking about your freshman year that your dad went to most of the home games.
Mm-hmm.
And you still talk to him constantly?
Oh, yeah.
So he was sort of like a second coach to you?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. And he pretty much made every home game, so did my mom. And almost every away game, he, through his business or what he does, his career, he was able to travel. And so I was He did a lot of traveling, and he has customers all over the U.S. So anytime, as soon as I would get the schedule in the very beginning of the year, before even, as soon as they would set it, I would give it to him, and he would rearrange his schedule. So at least he could be near, you know, the games. He could drive over. Sometimes he would fly in, and he would have to drive maybe 8 or 10 hours just to go to the game, you know, from business, which I mean, I'm so lucky that he was able to go and see a lot of these different places. So yeah, he was very much a second coach.
Was it nice
to me
to look up in the stands and
very
see
much
your dad?
It sometimes it was like, oh man, you know, and he's there again, and which I was happy for them to be there, but you know, that was an extra pressure. I knew that I had to play, you know, I couldn't just slough off, and I mean, I never did.
Well,
but
I know what you mean.
Yeah, you know, it's that he was there, and I couldn't just call him on the phone and say, yeah, I played okay, you know, I played pretty well, and he would be there to know I played, you know, okay or bad or something like that. But yeah, it was very much a comfort, you know, especially if I did play bad or if I did play well. He was there to kind of go through that with me, you know, if I needed kind of a kick in the butt, and he would give it to me after the game, and, you know, he always stuck around and we would talk, and I was very, very, very lucky to have him in all those games. And both my parents were very good about that. They went to Alaska. They were going to go to Maine, but ended up not working out. But they ended up going to Alaska, and they went to Santa Barbara and stuff like that. They went to a lot of places that we got to go. They went to New York.
So they get trips out of it, too.
Yeah, they got a lot of fun trips out of it, and I think they enjoyed that very much. So, yeah, that was a lot of fun.
What about your junior year?
Junior year was a little different. The team started to change. We got a lot of new players in. Kind of the whole transition of it changed. I enjoyed my junior year very much. I mean, I enjoyed all four of my years. We did okay that year. I was now an upperclassman, so I had to be more of a leader. And I ended up, my sophomore year, was named one of the captains. And that's very rare to have a sophomore as a captain.
Yeah.
We had the two main seniors who are our big guns, and you know, rightfully so, they were two of our captains, and then I was named to a captain, which is a, you know, big surprise for me. So my sophomore year, I really wasn't a very vocal captain. I was almost there just kind of to learn and to see what it is to be a captain in college. I knew what it was in high school because I was that, but it was a little bit more of a vocal role. So I didn't really take that on, but as a junior, I took more of a vocal role and tried to, you know, kind of really be as much as a leader as I could. I really wanted to be a good leader, and we had some success. We went to the WNIT championship game in Arkansas, and we ended up losing that, which was disappointing. But then my senior year, we ended up winning it. But you know, our team was, we should have done better than we did. You know, of course, I'm gonna be, you know, hard on us, but we were very talented, but for some reason we just really didn't mesh very well.
Was that a chemistry thing more than
I think that there, you know, were some very hard-headed people on our team, both my junior and my senior year, and, you know, which is sometimes very hard, and we were talking about that for, you know, during my freshman career, you know, I was very lucky to have the chemistry that I did, and everybody wanted for the team and stuff like that, and you know, towards later in my college career, I saw things kind of changing where people were not so much out for themselves, but had more of a personal mentality that they just really wanted to do well. And if they did well and the team did bad, well, that's okay. It'll equal out. And so I didn't really have that mental mentality about the game or aspect about the game. But we ended up pulling things together, and we were, you know, we may not have been, everybody would have been the bestest of friends off the court. We were able to pull together and play together on the court, which is, you know, what was just fine with me, and I expected that, so, yeah.
What about, we haven't really talked about the assistant coaches much. Who are the assistant coaches who played an important part of your basketball career?
Yeah. Well, they actually...
they changed somewhat.
They changed very much so. From my freshman year to my senior year, I had a variety of different assistant coaches. The only two constants through my 4 years was our head coach, Jane, and then her executive assistant, Melissa. Mm-hmm. So those are the only two that actually stayed the same the whole entire year.
What's Melissa's last name?
Melissa Bruner, excuse me.
Okay.
Yeah. Or she's an administrative assistant, I should say. I think that one coach that I had my sophomore year, she ended up, that was her only year there. Her name was Dawn Blitzwhite, and she went, after my sophomore year, she went to UW Green Bay and went to coach assistant coach with her old college coach, who ended up getting, and they were very successful up there. But I learned a lot from her, and I think I learned the most from her. And her only being there 1 year was, you know, a good thing, you know, because I learned a lot from her in that 1 year, but also a bad thing just because she ended up leaving after that. And so I learned a lot from her, and I really respected her a lot. You know, she was easy to talk to, and any kind of, you know, problems I was having, you know, if when I would ask her for advice, it wasn't just, you know, well, you know, don't worry about it, it'll all come together. She was giving me concrete things, and that's the way that I process things ever since my dad, you know, giving me things if I needed to be like, listen, it had to be honest, and she had to be brutally honest with me, she was like that. And other times she needed to kind of, you know, build up my confidence, be like, you know, you're a good shooter, you can do this. She would do that too. So she kind of gave me a whole range of things. And she would just kind of tweak a little couple things, you know, if I needed a, you know, just a couple little things, move your feet this way, move them this way. She was able to do that. And I responded to that very much. So
you're a psychologist as a coach as well as anything
else. Yeah.
Well, this is something else that you're learning. You sort of make these bonds with these people, and then they push off and they move in a different direction in life, and there you're sitting and someone else comes in. And
right, and then you got to get used to a whole another person, a whole another style of teaching. So
what about, I like to bring these people up because they're often so forgotten, people like team managers. Is there anyone else that really stands out as being?
I think two people that actually stand out were our trainer, our athletic trainer, Henry Guerrero Perez. He was a big influence just because we bonded right away. Our senses of humors are the same. We're from actually the same town in La Crosse, Wisconsin, and we went to the same middle and high school, which we found out later. So we had all this bond. We talked about a lot of the same teachers that we had, which was kind of scary. So he and I bonded very much. And you know, I got a variety of really strange injuries over my 4 years. You know, they weren't the typical ankle sprains or knee problems or back problems. I mean, it was just really weird stuff. Like, you know, I got a bone chip in my ankle on the wrong side and on a different side, and I popped some cartilage in my chest. I mean, just real bizarre kind of stuff like that. And we kind of went through the ups and downs with that together, and he and I really bonded, and he was just such a great person to have around. He kind of gave a different aspect looking on the, he was in the inside, but he wasn't, right in the program. He was more, you know, the athletic trainer, and he did a lot of the traveling with us. And so I kind of got that aspect of, well, what do you think was going on at this point? And he would kind of give me his insight to it. So I'm going to definitely miss, and I'm still in contact with him. I babysit his kids every once in a while, and I just really, really have the utmost admiration for that guy. And another person that was with the team was our strength and conditioning coach, Scott Hettenbach. And he was kind of more of he wanted us to get down to business. And I think some of the girls were kind of, you know, whatever. And they would just, not flighty, but they would just kind of be, you know, didn't really want to, when they didn't want to run or they didn't want to try hard, they just wouldn't. And, you know, it was hard for him. And I kind of knew where he was coming from. And he just, you know, if you went in there and you had a good attitude about it and you worked hard, he liked you. And I liked that about him, just because, you know, it didn't matter if your personalities clashed or anything. As long as you worked hard and you gave him his respect, he liked you. And he and I got along really well. We had the same kind of sense of humor again. And I always worked hard when I was in there, so we got along very well. And, you know, he knew when to push me and when to kind of be, he knew that, you know, I wasn't trying hard, and he knew when I was, and he would, you know, give me encouragement when I was doing a really good job, and he would point me out. Or, you know, the times that I wasn't trying very hard, he would get after me and he'd single me out, and I knew that I wasn't. Or even little things, like if I knew I wasn't running hard, and he would just kind of give me a look like, I know you're not running hard. Or he would wait till afterwards and, you know, say something, just a little comment, and stuff like that would stick in my head. So I knew that he knew a lot about me, and
you know, being watched.
Exactly. And that always made me want to work harder. So those two guys in the program were big influences on me. I really enjoyed having them around. They made things a lot easier. So
now, I know this is going to sound incredible, but when I went to high school, I was on the football team, and I was on the track team with shot put and discus. Mm-hmm. Never once did any of us ever even know a weight room existed. Never once did we lift a barbell over our head or anything.
That's amazing.
It was just, I mean, we did push-ups and things like that, but nothing like, What about the women's? Do most of the girls on the team have weight training and things like that in high school? That was all part of
it? I think so. I think everybody, at least at one point in time, you know, had something that was going along with gym class that you had to go in the weight, you know, or a section of gym class that you had to go in the weight room. At least I know I did, and I'm sure a lot of, I know at least my age and older probably did. And I know the younger kids did too. So, but I know that I didn't go in being as strong as I could have. There was always, there still is that stigma that, you know, if you lift weights, you're going to, especially for girls, you're going to be bulky. Mm-hmm. I know it's more true for guys,
right,
that they're always in the weight room buffing up, getting stronger, stuff like that. But for girls, you know, you don't want to get looked that buff, and you don't want to,
right,
and it's that, you know, it's going to screw up your shot. It's going to make it, you know, if you lift a lot of weights, you're not going to be able to have the same shot. And I think a lot of those, you know, stigmas on lifting weight aren't really true. I know that lifting weights, for me, I did get bigger, and I knew that, but I had to put on weight because I was getting pushed around. I was really skinny when I first came here, and which, of course, now I want to be back that, you know, to that skinny state that I was in, but, you know, I was a basketball player, and I had to, you know, get my body ready for basketball, and so when I would go and drive in, I would just get pounded by the post and getting pushed over, and when I'd run through screens, I would just easily, I mean, someone could just throw an elbow out and I'd go flying. So the weight program was very key for me, and my jumping ability wasn't that great when I first came in. I could jump, but nothing where I should have been. And
okay, so you've had 3 years in the program lifting weights and running. It's now your senior year. How did that transpire?
Yeah, it worked out really well. You know, I felt like I was a lot stronger and a lot faster, I think. You know, but I was bigger, so yeah. I wasn't as fast. See, it kind of goes both ways, you know. I was bigger, you know, and stronger my senior year, but I wasn't as quick as I was my freshman year. But then again, I wasn't as, you know, strong my freshman year. So you kind of give up one or two things. But it ended up working out very well. You know, you had to, the thing with weight training is you have to constantly keep it up, and you can't go the whole preseason and year weight training and then stop for the summer. You have to continue on, and I think it was harder for me just because I wasn't always on a set schedule. You know, I didn't have that. I was always traveling in the summer working on camps and stuff like that, and there wasn't always a weight room available. And I lived here in Madison, so I didn't have, you know, the weight room wasn't always open, and it wasn't like I had a basement that I could just get a, you know, some barbells or something like that and lift at my house. I was in an apartment, so I wasn't very, you know, scheduled on my lifting. So I think that was, every year I would come in, I would be pretty much the same as I was the year before where I ended, and then I would do really well during that year, and then I would kind of stay the same. So I really never did, you know, from my freshman year to my senior year, oh my gosh, I'm so much stronger. I was, but not as strong as I probably could have been, but, you know, it works out that way. And I was a lot knew a lot more things about running. I knew, you know, where my strengths and my weaknesses were, and knew a lot more about my body and stuff like that, or strengths and weaknesses. So.
Now, were you, as a team, I remember last year a little more clearly, wasn't it a little disappointing? Weren't you expected to go to the NCAA?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we had a lot of talent, you know, individually in every single spot.
Well, then you lost your star freshman recruit.
Right, she ended up getting hurt. And that's another thing, you know, people getting hurt, you know, you never know when someone's going to go down, and that's another thing you just got to deal with. And some of the injuries that we were coming across were a lot of stress fractures. It wasn't just a sprained ankle that after a couple of weeks you could probably slowly get back into it. But, you know, you go so long and you're ready and you got all the team and we're all on the same page, we got the chemistry, and then somebody goes down. And like Nina Smith, who was our very highly recruited, number one recruit in the nation. And she was expected to do a lot of things for us. And for her to go down, it kind of threw the balance off. And then we had a couple other people kind of go down or not play to where we thought they were going to and stuff like that. So that kind of, you know, takes you back to not so much to square one, but takes you back three steps. Mm-hmm. And you kind of then, you know, work even harder to get back where you were. And that's just with anything. A lot of teams go through stuff like that. But, yeah, we were expected to do a lot better than we did. And, I'm very happy with the NCAA or the NIT win that we did have. But, you know, it was disappointing to only go to the NCAA one time through my 4 years. And that'll be something that'll, you know, right, you just have to kind of deal with and stuff like that. Of course, yeah, I could always go back and if I should have done this, I should have done this. It would have been better if we did this. But, you know, I definitely learned, I think, a lot more from, you know, our lack of success than I did with our success, you know, so.
Yeah. What, in your years on the team, do you have any intense rivalry with any particular school?
We had a big rivalry with Minnesota, you know, always the battle. But they were never, you know, through my 4 years, they were never a really strong team. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, I remember one year my dad pointing out, because he worked a lot up in Minneapolis, and he brought me a paper, and the coach had put out an ad in the school, or in the paper, saying anyone who wants to try out for the women's basketball team. So that's how, you know, other team has got recruits coming in, and for them to be advertising in the paper if anyone wants to come out for basketball, it's not a very good sign, and we always kind of manhandled them, except for my freshman year. We ended up beating them twice, and then they beat us the last game, and we just played terrible. It wasn't anything that they did spectacular. We just kind of beat ourselves up. But the big school that we always went back and forth with, and you never knew who was going to win, was Illinois. And we always played very hard against them, and they were a very physical team, as were we. Mm-hmm. But they were more physical, bigger girls. They were kind of the big, huge, not real athletic girls inside the paint, and they would just, you know, bang us up, and man, they were a tough team to play against. And I ended up, the summer after my sophomore year, I went on the Big Ten All-Star Tour to Sweden and Denmark with one girl from every Big Ten school. Well, at least it was supposed to work out that way, but it ended up not. A couple girls for different schools went doubled up. But we went, and that was a lot of fun because I got to meet someone from every school, and we ended up bonding so well, and we all got together, which was, I never expected that. I expected at least one person that I wouldn't like, or I just didn't mesh with very well, but we all had different roommates throughout the whole trip, and we all got along so well. We all spent so much time together, and it wasn't any kind of click with any, you know, certain girls who knew each other before they went there, and we all got together, and we all kind of had a big free-for-all on who, what team we didn't like, and asked about different teammates, you know, we'd always make fun of, and, you know, you never really know, but it was so much fun. I said, well, let's talk about what teams that everybody doesn't like to play, or, you know, we have a big rivalry, and I said, I was the first to say it, I said, to be honest, Alicia, who was from the Illinois team, I was like, we hate playing you guys, you know, and then everybody else kind of jumped in and said, yeah, we don't like you guys either, you know, and she was like, well, why? We're nice, you know, but you always have that image of you got to hate the opponent, and you got to, like, really dislike them, and so, yeah, we all kind of...
So a chance to see your opponents as the same kind of people you are.
Oh, it was so much fun, and I really, you know, going to those games and visiting the girls and getting to see that was so much fun, and I, you know, we just had such a great time. I couldn't have asked for a better group of girls to go on that, because I've talked to a couple of girls that have gone since or gone before me, and they just said that they got along with the girls, but it wasn't anything like ours.
It's a chemistry thing, isn't it?
Oh, it was so great. I would have loved to play on that team for a whole season. They were so much fun.
Okay, now there are days when you could probably close your eyes and stand at half court and the ball would go right through the net.
Oh, yeah.
There are other days where you could be standing underneath the basket and you couldn't get
mm-hmm.
it. Can you tell me any, what was your most memorable game as a player? That really involved you, not as a team, but as Kelly Paul as the player.
Yeah, that would probably be, and it's most recently, the senior game this past year at the last regular season game I was going to play at the Kohl Center. We ended up playing all our WNIT games at the Kohl Center, but the last regular season game, we played Indiana, and we had the whole big senior ceremony, had the parents come out, and everybody cheered, and we got flowers, and, you know, tears were flowing, and if I just threw it behind my back, you know, with my eyes closed, it would go in, and it was great. I was hitting three-pointers, and I was hitting jump shots, and I ended up scoring my career-high 29 points, and I wanted to get over 30, but the three-pointer that I threw up there at the very last before I was taken out rimmed, and then it ended up falling out. So, that was so much fun, and my whole church was down there. Every year, my church brings brings down a big busload of people. They just say, we got a bus, we're going down to Kelly's game, this is
great.
The date.
That's wonderful.
You know, everybody sign up, and they sold the whole bus out. I had my whole family there. I had a lot of other family members who hadn't, you know, been faithful coming down. They were there, and, you know, it was pretty much almost a sellout game. You know, a lot of the fans were there. I had a lot of my friends there. So that was really exciting. And then to play that well in front of everybody. I mean, and I had a really good all-around game. I played well in defense, and I played well in offense, and I hardly had any turnovers. And I just could see my mom and dad just beaming. Yeah. You know, they were so proud of me. And I just, it was so much fun to play in.
Most really memorable game?
The overall game?
Yeah.
Let's see. I think it would probably have to be when we played Stanford my sophomore year. They were number two or three at the time, and we were definitely the underdogs. Mm-hmm. And they came to the field house, and that was the year that we did the changeover. But before we went to the Kohl Center, we played them at the field house, and we ended up beating them. And that was such an unbelievable win. I mean, it was just like we had vanquished everyone. Oh, it was just so neat to play in that game. And it was a sold-out crowd. And we had been preparing for this, you know, for 2 weeks. Yeah. And this was, and I don't think a lot of people expected us to win. Yeah. But everybody just came together, and that was the most exciting game. It was back and forth, and it was a really close game. We ended up winning at the end. And, I mean, just the celebration and they were Stanford. I mean, Stanford's an outstanding program in the country, and they had been to the NCAA, and they had won it a bunch of times. And I remember watching them on TV, and their coach is extremely famous, and a lot of the girls that are on their team are the best in the nation, number one, number two. Almost every year they get those girls. And then for us to beat them, it was like the ultimate. So that was a lot of fun.
You mentioned the field house. You said in the field in the Kohl Center you had this little distance and you didn't have people coming up to
right.
concentrate. As an opponent, do you think it was harder? What would they have preferred, mm-hmm. the field house?
As an opponent, I think they would have preferred the Kohl Center. Yeah. But for us, you know, playing them, I think we would have preferred playing in the field house. You are right on top of them. Yeah. The whole crowd is. It's so loud in there.
And it's an incredible place.
It is. It was. And I like it very much, and it was very, I was torn between, you know, the Kohl Center's got really good aspects, and the field house does, but the field house was amazing. I really liked it. If you would run and go get a ball, you would run right in the crowd, you know, and mm-hmm. a couple steps off the floor, you'd be in the crowd, and it was a tough place to play, I'm sure, and that was one aspect that I really miss about that place. And they try to do the Kohl Center, but there's no way you can replicate and make it a lot bigger. You know,
I remember when I'd see a game there, if it was a really exciting one, it's like my ears would hurt for 2 days.
Oh, I know. They would just
because
be ringing.
It was so loud.
Yeah,
There's no way to describe
it's
it.
It's amazing. Yeah. It is really amazing. And just to look up and the whole place just being a sea of red, you know. And, of course, you know, the seats weren't that great, and you had these big poles in the way and stuff like that. And it was getting old, and there were cockroaches and all this other stuff. But just the atmosphere in that place.
I was worried about fires when I was.
Oh, I know. I don't know if there would have been.
And there's so few exits, and there were so many people in there.
Yeah, it was amazing.
I breathed a little sigh of relief when they finally did make the.
Yeah. Yeah, I sure did.
Before we get to you are a student.
Yes.
Before you're an athlete, and we've skewed this interview much more toward the athletic part, but we are going to talk about the student section for a bit. Before we do that. You've got a team coming up this year. Any predictions on how they're going? It sounds like they're going to be a pretty good team.
Yeah, I think that they are. Once again, they've got a lot of raw talent on the team individually. Every single spot is stacked. And, you know, they have more experience on the team. They only have one true freshman, then they have a couple walk-ons. Mm-hmm. So they should be very well. And if they can finally come together you know, the chemistry can start to work and they can, you know, flow together as a team and everything can start to click. I think that they'll do fine. Hopefully they'll be able to, you know, have one person to kind of step up and really lead the team and be able to kind of, you know, show them way and everybody plays for the team and not individually. I think the team is going to do outstanding. And I really hope that they do. You know, I hope that, you know, all Dee Dee and Missy and I, are all our hard work has, you know, not gone to waste.
Right.
So I hope that we've at least influenced them somehow. So
hear that, listeners. Go check and see how Wisconsin did
exactly.
in the 2000-2001 season.
Yeah, we'll
that's
see.
That's what we're talking about. Okay, let's get to your classroom for a bit. You had mentioned, you had mentioned to me in our first discussion together that you had started out interested in history.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about how you got interested in history and where that went.
Yeah, I just really enjoyed my history classes in high school, particularly, you know, 40s, 50s, 60s history of the U.S., very interested in stuff like that. And I liked all history. I was very good at it. I liked learning about the past and stuff like that. And so that's what I was planning on being when I first got here. I didn't really know, you know, that it was hard. I didn't ever have a plan, like, I always wanted to be this or mm-hmm. this. And I knew exactly where I needed to go for that. I knew that when I first got here, I was just going to take general classes. And the history classes that I did take here were very interesting. Took a lot of U.S. history, history of Eastern Europe. Mm-hmm. Like, and it was just really mm-hmm. interesting. I liked reading about stuff like that. And when it came down to the NCAA has got a rule that you have to declare your major in order to be eligible by, I think, your sophomore year, the beginning of your sophomore year, or else you're not eligible to play.
Who knows what they're going to major in?
I know, exactly.
My goodness.
It's tough. Go and ahead. I had no idea. And partly it was I liked to...
Well, not... Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, it was hard because I had no idea what I wanted to do. And, you know, to pick a major, I always thought that, you know, I knew people could change majors, but it was like, I just didn't know. And I wanted to do something at least that maybe I would actually consider doing. So, yeah, so that was kind of tough. And I had enough history classes to apply for that major. And so I just decided to declare history, partly because I needed to mm-hmm. or I had to, and partly because I really enjoyed history. And if I had taken maybe a couple more classes, but throughout my career or my education, I just really liked a lot of the communication classes that I was doing. I was very, ever since high school, when I kind of first started to become aware of being a part of, or, you know, the focus of media and stuff like that, and I really enjoyed that kind of stuff. I realized that I was very comfortable in front of the camera. You know, I tried to be as creative as I could. Within the small sound bite that I needed to give the media or camera or radio or anything like that. And they kept coming back to me saying that I was very comfortable in the camera and I didn't look like the scared deer in the headlights, you know, athlete that just was very excited about the game. Exactly.
Yes.
You know, you get them after the game, they've had that. Oh, so I was very comfortable in front of the camera and stuff like that, or on, you know, doing an interview, or even if it's live, you know, in high school and stuff like that, and it kind of carried over. And then I was taking communication classes, journalism classes, learning, you know, the ins and outs of it, and I just really enjoyed that kind of stuff. I liked, you know, learning what went on and in the, you know, the background of television and film and history and of broadcasting, stuff like that. So I naturally just really liked that stuff. And I was thinking about declaring that my sophomore year, but I didn't have enough credits,
mm-hmm.
and I kind of wasn't really sure, so I knew that if I took a couple more classes and I really liked it, then I would probably switch, and that's what I ended up doing. I declared a comm arts major, and so, yeah, I really like it.
What were some of your favorite courses?
I really enjoyed my introduction to film, introduction to television, just because that gave more, you know, I knew what I liked on TV and I knew what I liked on film. And I think that there's, like, you know, that when people think film and TV, oh, they're just buff off courses. All you gotta do is watch a bunch of movies and watch television, you know, for your class, and you learn about that. And it's not at all, you know, you learn, you see the classic films, you see a lot of the angles and the mm-hmm. directions the cameras are going, and why there's a purpose for everything that they do. And I just thought that was so interesting, mm-hmm. you know,
yeah,
and all sorts of different things, and the way you have to tell a story that would be understandable to the audience, and how you can do an alternative, stuff like that. Television, I learned all about the industry, and film, I learned about the industry and, you know, backgrounds and mergers between companies and what, you know, what they put on, what they don't put on, what you see, what you don't see. All that kind of stuff just really intrigued me. I thought that was so interesting, and I really liked it. I really liked my, even though it was a big hassle, especially when I was in basketball at the same time, I did the introduction to video, and I actually had to put together a video, and I learned the equipment and putting this stuff together, and I did like a 5-minute documentary on the basketball team. It was very difficult because it's very time consuming. It was a 4-credit mm-hmm. class, and you had to spend a lot of lab time working on the computers and stuff like that. That was tough. I think I would, if I did it all over again, I would do it my fifth year mm-hmm. because I'd have more time. But one semester we did that, or one half of the semester we did the whole individual part, making a video, making a, you know, a story or a film, personal. And then the second half we did like a studio type, and we actually got to write out a script, everybody had to, and then we filmed it like a studio. Mm-hmm. We were able to be the director, be the assistant director, mm-hmm. be the audio person, be the cameraman, mm-hmm. be an actor, be the lighting, the boom. We did all that kind of stuff. So you had to do every single thing to be able to pass the course. And just to be involved and stuff like that was just so amazing to me, and I really liked it. So I kind of fell in love with the whole.
There is something when that camera comes on.
Yeah, it's amazing, you know. And you can tell almost within the first 5 seconds who is going to do well and who's not. And that's kind of my dilemma now, is where I'm going to go with this. I don't really know. I know that I want to stay kind of in sports or in some kind of mm-hmm. involvement. I know I don't really want to do music. I worked at Z104 this summer. And
a radio station.
Yeah, and I like that stuff, you know, but it's really not what I like to do. I like to be more kind of involved and, you know, just playing music, and, you know, I just really didn't like that. I had such a great time this summer, and I learned tons, but, you know, I learned that wasn't what I wanted to do, so.
One thing to learn.
Exactly. So, hopefully what I want to do is either, you know, do some broadcasting for sports. I'm going to be an analyst this year for the women's games mm-hmm. for Midwest Sports Channel.
That's really neat.
So I'm hoping that that'll kind of open up some doors for me, and then I'm also going to, you know, I work at Channel 3 as a sports intern, so I do a lot of, so I do a lot of going out, filming, doing highlights of games around town or around the different, you know, places here.
You do the actual
here.
Filming and stuff?
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, I'll go be on the sideline, do a little, you know, a couple shots, get a couple touchdowns, take it back to the station, dump it in the computers, edit it all together, and then give it to the anchor, the sports anchor, and then they make a script up for it. So I'm very involved, and I want to do something like that. There's the dilemma where, do I want to be on camera, do I want to be behind the camera, do be more of a producer kind of thing? And I don't really know what I want to go from there, but so yeah, it's very exciting, but it's also very scary because there's such a big world out there for communications, and I know that I want to stick in it. I know I'm very good at it, and I'm so much willing to learn. I'm like a sponge with mm-hmm. basketball. Now I'm like a sponge with communications. So, and I ultimately want to move to New York and someday maybe be an ESPN or something like that, but that's what I want to do.
Well, let's have our goals, and let's
there you
set
go.
Them, let's set them right up.
Might as well set them up high. And so.
What does Kelly Paulus do in her? I can't imagine you having much spare time between classes and everything. Do you like reading? Do you like music? Do you like movies? What are you like when you're just being Kelly Paulus?
I really like hanging out with my friends, just spending time with them, you know, kind of getting away from the whole, especially when I was in basketball, getting away from the whole basketball, and that's what I always tell them, let's not talk about basketball, what's going on in your life, mm-hmm. you know, let's go out and have fun, went to a lot of movies, mm-hmm. kind of downtime, nothing too physically strenuous, because mm-hmm. I was always doing that anyway, you know. Watched a lot of television, anything that really didn't require me to do anything, just kind of sit and be mindless and do nothing. But went to concerts, listened to a lot of music and stuff. So
what kind of music do you like?
I like pretty much every kind of music. You know, anything from jazz to classic rock to rock, hard rock, rap, R&B, pretty much like everything. Mm. And I've gone to pretty much a whole wide variety of concerts, so I like a lot of stuff.
You said you saw some classic films. Any classic film that really got
you? Oh, yeah. I liked. I really liked The Maltese Falcon. Citizen Kane was bizarre. That was, you know, Orson Welles. Yes, exactly. Orson Welles. That was different. Let's see. We saw some Alfred Hitchcock movies that, you know, the famous ones, but we saw some of the other ones, and that was a lot of fun. And just, you know, all the famous movies that everyone talks about, but you never actually go to the video. I would never have gone to the video store and say, you know, I really need to see this. Maybe when I was a little older and I didn't have a lot of other things to do, but this class allowed me to mm-hmm. see a lot of these movies, and it was during the summer too, so it was from like 8 to 12, so the first couple hours we would watch the movie, and then after that we would talk about it. So I saw a lot of really neat movies that I probably would have never actually seen. Saw Raging Bull and So it wasn't, the funny thing was, is the first day we got there, we watched Speed, which is, you know, Keanu Reeves and Sandra Bullock, and it's a very recent, well, at the time, it was a very recent movie. And when I first got there, I was like, oh, this is going to be great. We're just going to watch a bunch of famous movies from, you know, the 90s, you know. And then we ended up getting, you know, into different kind of the Maltese Falcon and all stuff, so, you know, older movies. And we saw, then we saw some very bizarre movies. You know, we saw ones that with the subtitles, and we saw a lot of French films, you know, Japanese films. And then we saw films that were just like a bunch of pictures and lights that are funny and stuff like that. So we saw a whole bunch of different things. So yeah, they kind of roped us in that very first day by watching a 95 Speed, you know. So, but it was a lot of fun. I learned tons, and it was probably one of my favorite classes. So.
And you'll be graduating
in May. May of 2001. Oh, can't believe I'm going to be graduating. I was talking to Dee Dee the other day, and we have to be out in the real world, you know. I have to have insurance. You know, I'm not covered by my parents anymore. And, to get a real job. And, man, it's going to be interesting. I mean, I think I'm ready for it. It's just, you know, it's one of those things where you just, it's the unknown. So you're worried about it.
Yeah,
and
it is.
I'm sure unknown. Everything will work out. But, you know, I don't have a plan, and I don't have anything more structured. I'm so used to having everything structured, and now I can pretty much do whatever I want. You know, if I want to go live in a cardboard box, I could if I wanted to. So,
why do I think things are going to go just fine for you? I just have a very strong feeling. I usually end the interviews by asking the people I talk to if they have any closing comments. Do you have any closing comments you would like to make about your career here at the University of Wisconsin?
Probably that it was I learned a lot. You know, I learned a lot about myself. I learned about, you know, my strengths, my weaknesses. I learned how much I could push myself and how big of a slacker I could be. I think that these 4 or 5 years in college was probably the most self-discovery I've ever done. You know, out of high school, you're in that kind of secure place. And when I got to college, I still, you know, being a student athlete, I was still kind of, you know, sheltered in a sense where I had that backup, which I think was nice. But then as I got older, I didn't really want to have that. I wanted to really break free and do whatever I want. And, you know, there were times that I just wanted to say, you know, the heck with it. I'm going to Europe and I'm going to travel and do whatever. So this whole experience, I think, was really neat. I know that a lot of people, and I know I'm going to appreciate it a lot more when I'm a little older. I appreciate it very much right now, but I think the older I get, the more I'm going to appreciate an opportunity like this, to get an outstanding education from one of the top universities in the nation and in the world, and to be able to play Division I basketball and be on TV and be on ESPN and be broadcasted all over the nation. It's such a neat experience, and I definitely wouldn't have done it any different, and I would have never, you know, gone to another school. I never had, I had ideas of that, but I would never have done it. I mean, I always tell people, definitely. Can't see myself any other place. I really enjoy Madison. This whole atmosphere here was perfect for me. It was a big town, but it wasn't, and I was close to home. Everything ended up working out perfectly, and yeah, like I said, I learned a lot about myself, and you know, I learned patience, and I learned loyalty, and I learned, you know, integrity, and all through basketball, but all through, you know, also through just going to school, and I learned a lot. It was a very eye-opening experience, and now I feel like I'm a better person coming out of it, so, yeah, I'm very excited now to go into the real world, but yeah, overall, my university experience was amazing.
Kelly, it's been I really enjoyed this interview a lot. Thank you so much for taking the time.
Yes, thank you. I really enjoyed myself.
End of interview.
Wonderful.